Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Well, hello, you fabulous interior design professional. This is Business of Design. It's episode 371. Honestly, I feel like I've done 20 episodes, not 371 episodes, but there you are. And I have a new guest for you, Jennifer Convey, someone I have known for some time because she's a shining star in the world of celebrity. She's hosted many of her own TV series, and she hosts a website or a webcast, rather, called Wild on Design. And she also produces this amazing connecting women and empowerment group called Women in Luxury Design in Los Angeles. And I recently did an event for her and we reconnected. And I'm so glad we did. And on this episode, I asked her if she would come and talk to us about media training. She often takes people through the process of being able to present either to small groups or huge groups on camera, off camera. And Jennifer is a really practical, no-nonsense entrepreneur, and she gets right to it, like really quick, simple things you can do if you are a person who gets fearful when you're about to make a presentation. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful episode. Jennifer, if you want to reach out to Jennifer, Jennifer@womeninluxurydesign.com, Jennifer Convey, and on Instagram, womeninluxurydesign.com. Jennifer is just one of those people who's really open and generous and loves to make connections. So I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. I hope you do. I certainly did. And we're going to kick things off, as usual, with some quick announcements from Cheryl Horn, and then we'll jump right into the episode. I am so glad you're here.
Thanks, Kimberly. Well, coming up on April 24th at 1 p.m. EST is our next BOD Live. And we're really doing open coaching, but we're going to focus in on the BOD 15. Business of Design's 15-step project management strategy is a 20-hour program, and it's usually where members start. Unless you have a pressing issue that's happening right now in your business, we do recommend you start with the BOD 15 program. And again, it's a 20-hour program. It's made up of over 70 different videos. It's really broken down step by step because it's made up of literally hundreds of systems, as well as forms and templates that you can download as you go. It's really easy to overlook a critical step, but once you start implementing, you realize how all the little pieces go together. And we want to make sure that you understand that from the start. And of course, we meet every single month to answer questions for you. Regardless of the topic, we always save time at the end. If you have a pressing issue outside of that topic, that's what we're here to answer. So please join us for that. Again, it's April 24th. And then we are already asking you to save the date for October 26th. Business of Design is going to be at High Point celebrating 20 years that we've been doing this. And we want to celebrate with you in person. So we have a full day lined up. So for right now, we're just asking you to please save the date. We've got a series of smaller seminars during the day that we're doing in partnership with Daniel House Club at 3 different showrooms. And then Kimberly is going to be on stage at the Suites on Market Square. And we will be following that up with a party, a little celebration for, again, 20 years of Business of Design. We really hope you can join us. So please let us know that you're going to be there and mark your calendar for October 26th. We will see you at High Point. Thanks so much.
Jennifer Convey, how are you?
I'm great, Kimberly. Hi.
I hope everybody's watching this on YouTube and not just listening, because Jennifer is just so beautiful inside and out. And I just have always been I've been such a fan of the work you do and how you. Well, you're just you're just one of those people who truly is a connector. And you, I love that you talk about empowering women, but you do more than talk about it. You actually step up to the plate and you make those connections happen for people and help people become more profitable and step into their power. And it's just a treat to anytime I can talk to you. How are you?
You're so sweet, and it's mutual. I think you're absolutely extraordinary. I'm great. Thank you for having me here. And oh my gosh, we'll have to talk about what we did last month.
Go ahead and talk about it. In hindsight, I wish we had thought about recording it for the podcast, but we didn't. So give us the highlights of this amazing event you put on at the Pacific Design Center.
So we've been asked to do it again. That's the great news. I'll leave with that. And it's going to be bigger, better. And you will please come back next
100%.
Year.
100%. Oh my God. So fun.
So we did with the Pacific Design Center. That was the location in the big atrium, theater stage and everything. And I had this idea literally 3.5 weeks before we did it. It's been brewing. It was the Empowered Design Summit. And really, it was the Empowered Women's Design Summit. And what I wanted to do was create a whole bunch of snippets. So short, savvy segments is what I coined it. And 15 minutes to dive deep and get a wide range of programming in a 6-5 hour period. And you just blew it out of the park. I knew everyone would fall in love with you if they didn't already know you and what you do, business of design in the first place. But you gave all the meat and all the juice of your business, and you are hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't need me up there to ask. I mean, seriously, now I know. You just go and do your thing, but it was such a fun conversation.
All the guests were so good. Like, I just enjoyed the entire day. I stayed for the whole thing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I know all our speakers stayed and everybody met. I think, we're treating the whole woman, the whole person. You know, you're not just your work. So I wanted an author. You know, I wanted you to do a book signing. I wanted health and wellness, sustainability, stress, breath work. We had a sound bath at the end. She's also a publicist for designers and architects. It was kind of just a snippet of the well-rounded business savvy, and everybody really brought it. They really were vulnerable. They were passionate. They really shared themselves and their story and journey. And you, of course, your stories, they were hilarious and painful and wonderful. And
well, it's funny when you only have 15 minutes, you figure I better just get real fast, right? But Jennifer led things off with a beautiful story about her father who has since passed. And there were some tears and I thought, oh, hang on, here we go. Like, you put a bunch of women in the room and get real. And it's amazing the magic that can happen. So there were so many things I could have talked to you about on the podcast, but there's kind of two overarching thoughts for the initial time we speak. And one is just about what exactly does it mean when you celebrate community rather than fearing competition, and how does that fit in with empowering women? But the other side of things is, Jennifer, is you're an actor. You've been on television a number of times. You've hosted and starred in your own shows. You're very comfortable in front of the camera. Yeah. I know you have some techniques for helping people get over stage fright. So should we start there? Should we just start with like...
Should we start there, or you want to start community, not competition?
I don't know. Toss a coin. What are you feeling?
I'll do a quick touch on that. And just, it is community, not competition, because if you really fear and live in fear of others and you not being worthy enough and people being better than you, and Instagram does a great job of doing that for us, so we don't need any more help there. But then you're not doing it right. If you can't tap into your passion, how unique you are, the gifts you have, your expertise and style and talents, then how are you going to convince someone else that you have that, your clients? Right. And that's just a snippet. It's really get in touch with makes you unique. Don't be someone else. Be authentic. If you're quirky, be quirky. Be the best version of you. Because we all are in sales and in presentations. And, it's what we do. We're in the service business.
So, and there's so much pressure to pose, right? And to be perfect and have it together. And, you know, it's...
I think it's just mean what you say and do what you say you're going to do and be trustworthy and authentic and all those things. And don't worry about the rest. And then the other side of that is, you know, having confidence and speaking in front of people. So, Kimberly... You have zero fear of doing this. You're so awesome at it. I got to come see an hour's worth of your talk. And I will. And we'll have you on my webcast, Wild on Design for PC, ASAP. And you've mastered it. And so basically fear versus excitement.
Yeah.
And the number one, I'll just address that. That is the number one thing keeping most people from doing what you need to do. In this world, we're all Zoom, we're all presentational, we appearances. Are you going to lose opportunities because you're nervous and afraid? So I always say this. Can you swim? Kimberly, you can swim, right?
I can swim.
Can you swim in 3 feet of water?
I think so.
Can you swim in 3,000 feet of water?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. So it's a skill set, and once you have it, it doesn't matter if there's one or two people or 300 people.
Now, you're saying like whether or not I'm just presenting to my client or I'm presenting to 12 people in a book club that have asked me to talk about design, or I'm on a stage at one of your events, that the techniques are exactly the same.
The management of fear is exactly the same. Okay. And yes, let's be honest, it's an elevated state of speaking.
Yeah.
Right? Some people are very soft-spoken. You can work on that because that gives the impression of timid and lack of confidence. So I work with people. I coach people. It's just from thousands of interviews, real people, 10 minutes before we go on and the cameras roll and the lights are on. They're, you know, they've had a personalityectomy. Their deer caught in headlight. I'm like, whoa, just remember how cute and animated you were. Talk to me. Just talk to me.
Yeah.
Forget about them. And we bring them back in.
So is that, I want to know if that's a problem that's more prevalent for your female clients. Like, in other words, do we speak timidly more often than men do? Or no, it's both. It's across the board.
I've had clients. I had a client who has a very thick accent, but he speaks beautiful, elegant English more than I do, apparently. And and he was so shy because I got to the bottom of it. It came from childhood, being teased about his accent when he first moved here. This is a middle-aged man, and yet it was when he was 13 to read out loud. So I made him, I had shouting exercises. That's from theater and stuff. But back to just the basic, because I can only give small spoon bites, you know, bitefuls here, is fear. The number one thing keeping you from getting out there, do you want to blow the opportunities? If you've been invited to speak because you're an expert, a designer, and you'll get lots of opportunities. And you may even have a publicist booking you on things. You can't not do it because of fear. So here's fear. I always tell, what does fear look and feel like to you? And basically, it is this. So basically, you know, racing thoughts, flutter, butterflies in the stomach, racing heart, pulse rate, maybe sweaty palms, even a little bit of nausea and just heightened. Yeah. So that adrenaline is what you've got. Here's the thing. What does excitement feel like?
Mm.
Butterflies in your stomach, racing heart, racing thoughts, maybe sweaty palms.
Yeah.
So the difference is fear and excitement. If you can do the mindset, because what is really hard is to pretend, is to try not to be nervous. Don't ever try not to be something. If that adrenaline is getting, that'll feed you. That energy, use it. That's always a technique. Use that energy and reframe it. Breath work, take a deep breath. Out, calm the nervous system, shake it out. People always say, what do I do with my hands? I said, do you think about that in life?
Yeah, never.
You know, just be free. There is technique on that just to keep mindset. And these are things you can take with you. So take a deep breath. Look out. Everybody's your friend. They want you to succeed.
Yeah.
I'm nervous, but I'm excited. Take a smile and start. At any time you get tripped up on this has to be perfect and what am I going to say? You got this. English is your language.
Yeah.
Nobody out there knows your script. You don't have a script.
Yeah.
So there is no wrong. They're waiting for you. They've done studies. Audiences want you to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've made an investment. If it's either just time, if it's a free event, that's still an important investment, or they've paid money to be at this moment. So they're already rooting for you. It's true.
They're already there to be there for you. Mm-hmm. And the audience is your friend, you know? They want to know what you want to say, and they want to like you and all this. And I think that's where people get messed up. They start worrying about performance or something. And it's really, if you got something to say, stay focused on your message.
Interesting.
All of us that are creative have passion and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Those two things will forgive you any mess ups or verbal flubs, and we all do it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you are genuinely, we have to tap into why we got into this business in the first place. And even though some days we know we don't always feel it, but before you speak, you got to tap into that. One thing I know is that if you aren't enjoying this, no one out there will. And I know that from TV and programming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I'm not enjoying the curiosity and to share with whoever, and we all aren't, and we're all nervous and uptight, then the audience knows that. They may not put their finger on it, but you want to engage them, and you will. You have it. If you're a creative, you have it.
It's interesting there. Because I took improv right before COVID. I was taking improv at Groundlings, and it was really hard. And I was
I love it.
So,
I did.
Did you? Oh my gosh! Yeah. I was so nervous. I was so partly because the teacher would say like, "Well, that sucked" at the end of something that I did, and he would just tear it apart. Like, it was just rough. But I wish I had.
That's awful.
It was terrible, actually. Yeah, but it.
Well, That's you know. Then you're asked to be a writer at the same time, and it has to be funny, and that's a lot of pressure.
Right. But I wish I had thought of that the fear that I was feeling, it actually wasn't excitement, it was fear, but if I could have reminded myself that this is what excitement feels like and look at it as an experiment. I kept telling myself, this is just an experiment. It doesn't matter if he doesn't think I'm good or whatever. It's just an experiment, and we'll see how it feels. So it's this idea that the very first thing you want to do is try to channel the vibe of excitement over the vibe of fear.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
You're going to have the same adrenaline, but one is stress. Right. And the other is excitement. And they really physiologically feel the same. It's the mindset that you just got to, here it is. I get to do this. Not I have to.
Mm-hmm. So words matter. You think words matter.
Words talk. It's a mantra in your head. Mm-hmm. I get to do this. I'm so excited to do this. I get to do this. Not I have to do this. And then it brings everything down.
I'm so lucky to get to do this.
I am so lucky. I am so looking forward. I get to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that simple. And if you really smile and take that in and really own it, you are not going to have that. Oh my God, I've got to do that's dread. That's fear. Just shift it every time. And I also say, you know, do all the things you need to do for success. Mm-hmm. If you're a runner, if you take walks, do that. Get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Have your blood sugar be good, you know, whether that's on camera or live. Take care of yourself and give yourself a chance to be relaxed, not rush, get there early. You know, there's no script. Nobody knows what you're going to say. Nobody's in the audience going, she didn't. Nope, she didn't. Wasn't going to say that. I know.
What about your body? Like, are there particular physical things that you do? Oh, okay. Yeah. What are your tricks?
Okay. So one of the things I have to coach somebody, it was just on my panel, profiles are not good. Okay. Right. We want to see your face and your eyes. So if you're, this is one of the reasons I want to do this instead of next to each other and do it because, you know, this profile and having a chat this way leaves us out.
Right. Yeah, no, it does.
And so you can cheat it. You can cheat it with your eyes. Keep your face, chin this way, you know, this way. And you can look over here. I do it all the time. Look over here to the person you're talking to. Usually you're standing abnormally close to them or sitting abnormally close to them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is hands. I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to watch TV now, and you're going to see everybody do it. I wish I could stand up. So, all right, I will. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay. You have to go to YouTube to see this demonstration, everybody.
Okay, so your hands should be right. This is getting weird.
They're like your waist.
No crotch shots. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So keep your hands here and loose. Shake your hands. Okay. So your hands should be right here. We gesture a split second after we say a word, right?
Right.
So if your hands and fingers are loose, you keep them cradled here or here.
Right.
Right here midway so that you're free to gesture. You're not thinking about it.
What do people do with their hands? It's weird. Like what do they hold them too low? Do they like
freeze them? Low is fine. Just anywhere here where you're loose in your shoulders and arms, and you come back to resting. So you'll watch Entertainment Tonight or, you know, TMZ and all that. You will see every newscast person
doing
more or less something like this or lower, but loose, so that when you want to say something, your arms are talking with you, your hands are talking with you, and then you just come back here. You do it in life.
Right.
Some of us use their hands more than others. I use mine all the time.
Right.
I used to get teased about it, but it's okay. You know, you just come back to home. If you're ever worried about where to look, look at the person you're talking to. And if that's the camera, look there, or look at the audience. If the audience makes you nervous, look at the person that's asking you questions.
Yeah.
And then your arms, if you're really thinking about and tracking what you're saying and what the other person is saying, if you have that opportunity, your body will follow.
Yeah.
If you just are loose enough to gesture, be you forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's 10 minutes of media training, you know, the fear, where to look, how to stand, you know, always open to the audience as much as you can, your face too, because you want to engage them. You don't want to close yourself off just here.
How do you feel about the idea that you would come on stage and you would say, "I'm super nervous, everybody"? You know, sometimes a speaker will do that. I feel anxious when they say things like that. What's your take on that? I feel anxious for them. Like, oh, it'll be nervous. But now I'm nervous for them.
Yeah, again, they're rooting for you. Yeah. It's cute. I mean, I know Brene Brown talked about it her very first time getting up there. She was having all the doubts. You know, everybody does it. And that's another thing. She had doubts saying, oh, my God, I looked out there at the audience. They're all CEOs of companies. And what am I doing here and all this? You feel like an imposter. You know, that stuff is part of it sometimes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she went out and did it and look, and she's continuing to do it. I think don't say that, because then you're just triggering yourself.
Right.
I'd say, wow, I have a shot of adrenaline you can't believe right now.
Yeah, or I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
I had too much coffee, but oh my gosh, we're going to have fun.
I agree. I think that's a much better way to handle it. I always wondered if people think that that's a good technique or not. That's interesting. So how you physically care for yourself, how you are thinking, the words you say to yourself, all of those things are going to contribute to you finding your zone when you're in front of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, the most professional speakers, singers, performers have horrible stage fright. I'm not saying that excitement ever goes away.
Yeah.
You know, I have certain settings where I just go, oh God, and all night long I'm going through my stuff and everything, but I trust at this point.
Yeah.
That I know what to do, and there's certain things will fall into place or not.
Yeah.
You know, stuff happens. I forget things, you know.
I know. In the middle of a thought and you go, okay, I have no idea where I was headed with that. Like that's the worst.
Me more often now, sadly.
Yeah, yes. Truly, truly. It's just because we have
cards.
So many awesome things in our mind, right? Like just, there's only so much space. There's so much storage
room. And sometimes nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just, where is it?
Oh my gosh. But you can, I still get nervous when I speak, but it, after 2 minutes, I'm fine.
We don't know it.
Yeah, yeah. It's the first 2 minutes I think, oh dear, here we go. Look at the audience. They look bored. She's yawning. Look at that one. She's eating a sandwich. They're okay. Not into me.
It's okay.
And then it disappears. I kind of forget about it. And somebody also told me many years ago when I was first did live TV, don't watch it. Don't watch it because then you'll start picking yourself apart. You know,
that's true.
You don't like your bangs and you don't like, I mean, even now I'm looking at the Zoom meeting. I'm thinking, why do my bangs
never
look?
Oh no, I hate my hair.
See, I think your hair looks great. Oh, we're ridiculous.
Now women are ridiculous. So bad. We're ridiculous on this stuff.
Yeah. So maybe if you have a producer or somebody and they say you did great, trust it and just lean into the feeling you had. And I never watch myself on TV. If I can avoid it, I will never watch anything.
I'm going to disagree on that. I hear you, and that works for you. I did some of both.
Okay.
So here's my take on that. In the beginning, when you're starting out, yeah, I think you'll be hypercritical. I got finally, and I remember I had a daily show. So I remember, and none of it was in studio. It was all interviews and all around the world. Yeah. And I could look at those shows and go, oh God, I had 102 fever that day. Oh God, I can't believe nobody told me that my hair was in my mouth, you know, or
yeah.
You know, you start going down the rabbit hole and looking at all the little things that, you know, nobody else noticed, but you know, they should have, in my opinion. But anyway, what I will say is when you're starting out, I think you do need to watch. I remember my late father, also on TV, would say that you learn, you know, expressions and face things that may not be flattering or kind of weird. Even just your present, how you dress, everything, just get real comfortable with you. And it's a learning thing. You'll learn what reads and, you know, style of speaking, if you're interrupting, you know, it's really good to study yourself. And here's the thing. I didn't have that starting out. We did live. There was no editing. Right. I had to learn teleprompter basically on a crash course. You know, I was working for E! Entertainment. And, you know, it's scary to have all your flubs air 20 times that day or that week. And, you know, now we have phones. I'm sorry. We have computers and iPhones. And there's no reason you can't practice. Read a whole bunch of copy. Get really good at it. There's free teleprompter things you can put on your screen.
Amazing.
Right?
It's a whole new world. So, I wonder though sometimes if that constant access to a phone and being filmed just makes you hypercritical. Like I hear what you're saying. I'm sure you're right. There must be a good, what's the balance, you know, looking enough so you're aware, but not looking so much that you're constantly, I don't think there would ever be a time that I would look at myself and go, oh my God, you look great. And you sound perfect. Like never.
Oh my God.
Never.
You should. Oh, stop. What's wrong with this? I want some pro headphones. True podcaster that you are.
That's hilarious.
I will say that, again, you should be looking at it for content.
Yeah.
Look at what you're saying. Oh, gee, you know, and then start taking notes on yourself. Everyone, there's an exercise hosts do for agents and casting people, hosts like reality stuff. And you should be able to give your spiel the 30-second version, the 1 minute version, and the 2 minute version. Get that down and practice with that. I'm so-and-so. I'm a late sleeper. I love dogs. You know, I have a PhD in this. I don't, but I'm just saying, you know, you get your spiel down and that start with that.
Yeah.
And that's it. You want a TV is sound bites. So are interviews. And there's a different skill set. Yeah. One is being an interviewee. One is being the interviewer, being a guest expert. They're just slightly different focus on your messaging. Mm-hmm. So you want to learn and study yourself that you're hitting that, you know, and learn from that in that way. Not your hair, not whatever. I mean, I coach people. I said, you should get a ring light. I have one, you know, makeup, do, you know, for Zooms and people in business, you know, there's no reason not to bring it.
Yeah.
If it's A, going to be broadcast, B, if it's for a job, if it's for clients, because a lot of designers work you know, remote meetings, just like you do a presentation or design.
I love a ring light, but when you have glasses, it's impossible. You always see the...
Oh, you can get non-reflective.
You can.
Yeah, non-reflective TV glasses.
Glasses. Oh.
Reading glasses.
Yeah,
non-reflective.
Yeah. All right. That's but good tips. Okay, Jennifer, amazing information. Thank you so much. We end every episode with something called design intervention, which is just a great piece of advice you want to pass on. It can be totally unrelated to what we've talked about so far.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Design intervention. Oh, okay. You probably hear this one all the time, but I just heard a podcast on the radio yesterday. Not a podcast, an interview. Boundaries, learn to say no, but also learn to unplug. There's a science thing going on now, and it's sort of, they're trying to pass a bill for employers. This is yesterday in Los Angeles. They're trying to pass a bill where employers, you know, yeah, you work your basic job, and if you're an hourly, there's overtime, but you do not need to be 24/7 on call, because we are with our phones and our computers, and there will be penalties, and they're working on a bill right now to do that. And I know from my family, we're all workaholics. That is, if I choose to work all night on my private stuff, that doesn't mean someone's yammering at me.
No.
But when I was fully designing, you know, I did. I said, you know what? Unless it's an emergency and urgent, text me. I will get back to you in 24 hours on a weekend. At night, you know, please wait till the next morning. I will address it in the morning. But after 7 o'clock, set those boundaries, because it makes you nuts.
Yeah.
It'll be there for you to deal with when you...
So true.
The world won't end.
Yeah.
Unless they're in a delivery and they're in the truck and they can't, you know what I'm saying. But not everything's an emergency, and it will be there for you to address, and they'll respect you for it, because we all know the clients that just call you whenever they're home from their day. They want your time.
Yeah, you're so right.
And that's every coach. Everybody in service goes through this.
Yeah.
My brother works nonstop. It's just round the clock, whether he's at home or in the office. And it's like, you know, we got to stop doing this. And only in America does this exist.
Yeah.
So I would say boundaries, say no. You know when it's going to be a bad client and a bad job, even if you need it. Just trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to succeed. If they want something that is completely different than what you understood to be, hear that.
Yeah.
You know, set yourself up for success, because if you succeed with that person, that word of mouth is everything.
Yeah.
So it's worth it to say no. It's worth it to be professional. You're not being unprofessional by creating boundaries. That does not mean that you are indispensable 24 hours, 24/7.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, no, such good advice. I'm so happy we didn't have cell phones when I was first starting out, like in the 90s. I would have lost my mind, because I would just had no boundaries at all. So anyway, such good advice. Amazing to see you. I hope it's going to be much sooner that I see you next time. I seem to have to run into on planes or something. I think that's usually what we do. We end up on a flight together or something.
Oh, yes. That's how this all started. I was on the flight back from Vegas Market, and you were sitting next to me. Years ago, I'm going to have you on a panel, and I did.
You did. Oh,
and
sweeties.
We'll do it again.
So good to see you. All the success in the whole world coming your way, I hope.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
And same to you. Continued success.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Anytime.
I appreciate it.
Anytime. Open invitation.
Thank you.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.